Caller is the original Women's Radio Collective. Wednesdays from 3 to 5 p.m., the best music divas on radio at 89.3 FM and sophiescaller.blogspot.com.
I'm Weezy Muntali, host of African Now, and you're tuned to member-supported WPFW Washington.
Welcome to Heal DC. This is Joni, and I'm very proud and honored to have this special show in store for you today. So keep your ears on and your heart open. We are going to be spending the first part of this show talking about what is happening with the immigrant communities in the DMV. We hear a lot about what's happening in LA. Maybe a little bit about New York, but there's a lot happening right here. We're going to be speaking to some people who are standing up, working with organizations, standing up to support the immigrant communities. But really the inspiration for this show is to give a salute to somebody who all the listeners should know, many of us do know, and that is a recent ancestor by the name of Arturo Griffiths. And we're going to be hearing about Arturo. He helped me to produce this show. I've known Arturo since I first came to the D.C. area in the early 80s. And Arturo was, and I'll say is, a good friend of the radio station, of the Latino community, the African-American community. He was also very close to someone who many of you may still remember, A.C. Byrd. A.C. Byrd, definitely a part of WPFW for decades and often on the air with me. I want to thank some of the people who helped put this together, this show together, and first and foremost, Arturo's partner, Lois. I also want to thank some of Arturo's friends, including the people that are you're going to be hearing from in a moment, Arnaldo Diaz, George Escobar, Dante, who will be on a little later. This is Arturo is a very beloved and important activist, so we're dedicating this show today. But we're going to start out the first segment of the hour. We're going to be talking with three people who are very active in supporting immigrant communities in the DMV. It's important. And Arturo was very active in this arena, being an immigrant from Panama himself. Some even might call him the Marion Barry of Mount Pleasant. But he's very beloved and was a real activist. I want to introduce our three guests. Well, I'll start with two. George Escobar from CASA and Arnaldo Diaz from the National TPS Alliance. TPS stands for Temporary Protected Status. And also Arnaldo invited, I'm not sure I can say his name correctly, Mario Hernandez. So I'm going to ask George to kick us off with the and also then Alnardo, before we get into what's happening in the DMV, George, if you can tell us who you're with, the organization CASA, and a little bit about Arturo, and we will get more into Arturo later. But welcome, George.
Oh, thank you so much, Joni, and thank you so much for having all of us on here to remember Arturo, and not only remember him as an amazing human being, the person he was, but remember everything he contributed to, and the fact that we would not be where we are had it not be for a lot of the fights that I don't know that Arturo took on, and all of the leadership that he demonstrated during his life. Really a rock in a foundation for the Latino immigrant rights movement, for the civil rights movement, for the black and brown struggle throughout the metropolitan area. So an amazing leader, an amazing individual. My name is George Escobar, and I'm I have the privilege of serving as the Chief of Programs and Services at CASA. So CASA is one of the leading immigrant rights and services organizations in the Mid-Atlantic area. We have presence in Maryland and Virginia and Pennsylvania and Georgia, and have members even nationwide. We have over 170,000 working class members that lead our organization, define what our movement is, what our fights should be. And we do our best to provide them with the services to survive, thrive, and continue fighting for the rights of their community.
Yes, and we look forward to hearing you more from you in a few moments. Arnaldo Diaz, welcome.
Thank you, Jenny. Thank you.
Thank you, and I feel like I've known you forever. But you are also a very close friend of Arturo, and we will have more time in the second half hour for you to share some stories about Arturo. But tell us about what is the National TPS Alliance? And then after we introduce the last guest, we'll jump right into what you are doing. So tell us what the alliance is.
Absolutely. Well, the National TPS Alliance is a grassroots organization that was founded back in 2017 after the first attacks on TPS by the Trump administration. The community, along with our anchor organizations, which is CARES in Los Angeles and Endilon also, we found the need that we needed to organize ourselves and protect each other and fight for our right to stay. So we began, our anniversary just happened. Our eighth anniversary was June 6th, 17th. And this is the vehicle pretty much that the TPS community chose to represent their struggles and their demands and to protect their rights and needs. So
absolutely. And Arnaldo, if you could just introduce your other guests that we brought on.
Oh, and absolutely. Then... Yeah. Mardoel Hernandez, he's a TPS holder from Honduras. He was also a friend of Arturo. And we've been working together with the National TPS Alliance since pretty much the beginning. He's also a member of the executive committee. I'm pretty much one of the three national co-coordinators of the alliance, and we're really glad to be here. So, Marduel, if you would like to introduce yourself and say a little bit about yourself.
Welcome.
Yes, hi, good morning. Thank you very much for having us. It is a pleasure to bring the memories of Arturo Griffiths, which we miss him so much in the DC area and all over the country, not just as a leader fighting for the community, but as a friend, as a great human being that we have good memories with him. So all the good memories got to him. We're gonna miss him. We forever. Yeah,
Yes.
and like Arnoldo said, Mardoel Hernandez. I am. I was born in Honduras. I came to D.C. area, and I was granted TPS back in 1999, and then we had the TPS for 18 years until, like Arnoldo said, the first attack on TPS back in 2017. And then I found the great family of the National TPS Alliance that was just born about a month ago when I found out about this great community that organized as a National TPS Alliance. And then I've been a member of the great organization of this great family since then, fighting for not just the extensions of TPS, but looking for a permanent status for all the TPS holders. At that time, it was about 450,000. Now it's over 1 million that still fighting for keeping the extensions of TPS.
Okay. Now we unfortunately we don't have we could, the time is going to fly by, so I want to make sure that we tell our listeners, because I you know, the majority of our listeners are, it's a blessing that we have the majority as African American listeners. A lot of people are not aware. Some are, but a lot of people are not aware of what's happening in the DMV with regards to the situation with immigrants and immigrant communities, not only people from El Salvador, but people from Haiti and elsewhere. So I'm going to jump back to George and ask George to give us a quick overview of what is happening with immigrants right here in the DMV that many of us do not hear about. For example, I heard that just this past week there were ICE raids, two or three ICE raids in the Tacoma Park area. But so if you can just give us a thumbnail view of what's happening right here in the DMV with regards to TPS and the immigrant community and what CASA is doing to protect these communities.
Sure, thank you, Joni. I mean, as Arnoldo and Mardeolen could testify, we are a community that is under attack currently. Unfortunately, right now, it doesn't even matter if an individual has any type of protected status. Any kind of immigration benefit that an individual may have that comes from a foreign country is currently being attacked. And there are plans being concocted by the federal administration to make us all undocumented so that they can expedite our removal, right? We've seen that through going after undocumented immigrants has always been something that this Trump has said he was going to prioritize, right? That whole thing about going after violent criminals in the immigrant community, we all know at this point, hopefully, all of us listening on this broadcast know it was all a ruse, right? The immigrant community does not, you don't find incidents of violence and incidents of criminality in the immigrant community in a disproportionate number that's different from the community at large, right? From folks that have papers and folks that are citizens. As a matter of fact, the immigrant, if you look at the statistics overall, crime and incidences of criminal behavior, et cetera, or convictions within the immigrant community, no matter the immigration status, is actually lower than the rest of the community, right? That was
Yes.
always a way to
Yes.
racially, portray us, right?
Yes.
So
But
what's
Georgia,
happening?
I'm
Yes.
sorry to interrupt you, but I want to make sure you talk about a lot of our listeners do know in general what you're saying, But I think people do not know what is happening in D.C., Montgomery County, Prince George's County. So I'm going to ask you to.
No, exactly. So that is the next step, right? Mm-hmm. First, you have to convince the public in general that these are bad people, right? That these are criminals. So now with that already accomplished through their election, they have gone about conducting massive raids, targeting people in their homes. We see this in Tacoma Park. We see this in Riverdale. We see this in Brentwood. We see this in Mount Rainier, Prince George's County, Montgomery County, Northern Virginia. The statistics right now are pretty depressing. If you see the number of raids that are happening in our community, and everybody is afraid. Our immigrant community is afraid to go outside, right? Because what we're seeing is ICE, and there's videos of this, and I invite people to see this online as well, right? What ICE does is they show up in unmarked vehicles. A lot of times, not fancy SUVs, not unmarked, you know, fancy SUVs, but sometimes like literally minivans, right? Minivans that have the tinted windows that look very, common in the communities where they patrol. And before you know it, a patrol of 6, 7, 8 armed men with machine guns covering and masking their faces will nab people off the street as they're going to work, right? That's what, when we talk about raids, like that's what it looks like. It's literally a kidnapping on the street where folks get detained, processed, and their goal is to deport them as fast as they can. You all may be familiar with the case of Kilmer Abrego Garcia. Yes. Kilmer was a member of ours, right? This was an individual that had received legal services from CASA 5 years ago. He had received protection from deportation. He had papers, in other words. He had his work authorization, just like we heard Maradel right now talking about TPS. His protection was a little different than TPS, but it was nonetheless protection from deportation, gave him work authorization. He got a union job.
Yes.
Right, as a sheet metal worker, right? And he had a lovely house. He has a lovely house in Prince George's County with his wife, who is a U.S. citizen. He has 3 children, one of which is shared with his partner and an American citizen. And he nonetheless, in March 17th, got nabbed off the street, just as I described, by masked individuals in front of his kid, and was detained. And within 72 hours, was on a plane, taken to one of the most notorious, not only deported to the country that he had protection from being deported from, but he was, without committing any crimes whatsoever, he was transferred to one of the most notorious prisons in the entire world, the Seacoat Prison in San Salvador, right? And right now we're still fighting that case. We have successfully been able to return him after multiple legal battles that went all the way to the Supreme Court, but we're still struggling to get him reunited with his family. And this is an individual who was totally targeted, right? And his name was, you know, thrown across the media. He was accused of ridiculous things. He was accused of killing people in Mexico, being a gang member, something that it was never proven he ever was. You had President Trump trying to interpret what the tattoos that he had on his hands, which had nothing to do with gang affiliation.
Yes, and I'm sorry, George, to interrupt you, but this what you're talking about has been, I'm sure many of our listeners has heard of this case. It's been on Democracy Now. It's been widely published, but we haven't heard about some of the other people. I'm glad you mentioned him. I want to say that, of course, the union, the labor movement, has been standing up for him. The Metropolitan Washington Labor 100%. Council, with Sam Epps, who's been a guest on this show, is standing up for him. But I want you, because we're going to quickly be running out of time, I want you to share with the listeners what communities, first of all, what other communities? We know that people from El Salvador, but I understand it's people from Haiti. And just maybe list some of the other communities. And also, before we jump to Arnaldo, tell our listeners what CASA is doing to protect and support these immigrants.
Absolutely. Thank you, John. Sure. And I'll try to be brief. I get really passionate about this topic,
I
obviously, as we
hear
all
you. I
do,
wish we
right?
had more time.
We all do.
We all do. It's hard to be brief, but I will try to. No, obviously this, and as I mentioned, this is an attack on all the immigrant community. I'll focus in on one particular community that is very tragic and that he's targeting right now, and that's the Cameroonian community. Many of us know there's a lot of West Africans in the metropolitan area that live here, many of whom are actually from the country of Cameroon. Cameroon is a it's a both an English and a French-speaking country. They, thanks to their leadership within CASA, we worked with the administration during the Biden years to grant them TPS, just like the Hondureños, just like the Salvadorans. We were able to win temporary protected status, which is a protection from deportation and a work permit for this community of Cameroonians, which has a large population in Montgomery and Prince George's County, in DC, in Baltimore, Northern Virginia. And what we just saw is the administration just recently announced the withdrawal of TPS. So this is what the administration is trying to do. They're trying to make us all undocumented so that then they could target and deport us all, right? And right now we're fighting in court to maintain that eligibility. Cameroon, right now we're actually about in an hour from now, we're going to have a press conference ourselves announcing the next phase of the legal fight to maintain that status. If we don't act right now and move this case forward to the Fourth Circuit, the Fourth Circuit Court, these folks are going to lose their status by August 4th, and that's about 25,000 individuals that live primarily in the metropolitan region, and they will lose their status. So what happens to them is that then they will be targeted for deportation through these raids, right? And at CASA, what we're doing right now is putting forth these lawsuits to try to hold our ground and try to resist as much as we can. We've launched another lawsuit against the withdrawal of birthright citizenship, which your listeners probably may have heard of. That's linked to the 14th Amendment, right? That says that whoever in this country is born in this country has the right to citizenship. Trump has said that's not the case if you're a son or daughter of an undocumented immigrant, right? And we're fighting that case. We've taken it to the Supreme Court. It's transitioned into another legal phase where we're going to do a class action suit now, in response to the latest Supreme Court hearing. That is ongoing in the Fourth Circuit as well. So we have a number of lawsuits in addition to working directly with our community members. We run a raid. We call it a raid hotline. So we have a telephone number that we ask community members to call us when they see these unmarked vehicles in their community, when they see targeted enforcement actions and raids in their community. And what we do is we get that report from our community members, and we send organizers to these locations where we see these raids, and we get them as much information we can to be able to provide some legal assistance to those people that have been detained and some social services to the family that is now left without a primary breadwinner. So we're trying both to help people that are undergoing this traumatic experience and helping them through the legal process, trying to match them with services as best we can so that they can survive the moment. And on the other side, working hard to create impact litigation, trying to lift up these stories of these individuals being caught in this dragnet. And taking that to court to combat the worst that's coming out of this administration.
And Georges, how can people, if people want to be in touch with CASA, I don't know if you can, if it's appropriate to give out that number you mentioned, or just in general, how people can keep track of what you all are doing or be involved.
Oh, absolutely. There's so many things to so many
Well,
ways
just
to be involved. One way we look at our website, there's many opportunities there to link to petitions, to link to opportunities, rallies, and phone numbers to your local legislative leaders, to act on issues that are important to you. Our website is www, wearecasa.org. So kind of easy to remember because we are all CASA.
Yes,
We are
that's right.
CASA
Okay.
.org. And happy to give our raid hotline, which is, again, this is the hotline you
Right.
call when you see stuff
Sure.
happening in your community and you want it investigated. That's 1-888-214-6016. So again, that's 1-888-214-6016.
Okay, and hopefully we can have time at the end of the show to repeat that. This is Joni with Two Heel DC, WPFW 89.3 FM. We are spending the hour talking about what's happening in our communities to support immigrant communities in the DMV as they're being attacked by our so-called president and leaders. And the show is a salute to our friend Arturo Griffiths, who is very much a part of the community and of this station, and he's recently transitioned, but he is definitely still here with us. I want to bring on now Arnaldo Diaz. Again, Arnaldo, welcome, and tell our listeners, maybe in about five, give yourself about 5 minutes, tell our listeners what TPS, the National TPS Alliance, is doing in DC, in the DC area, and then we can also later, either now or later, jump to what you're doing. I know you're going out to LA today, but give our listeners an idea of what you guys are doing here.
Oh, absolutely. And for the local events, I'm gonna let Marduel talk about it. But I don't know if how much our audience knows about what TPS is, but what temporary protected status is. It was a program that was passed that was passed by in legislation back in 1990, and it pretty much began because of those of us who came in the 80s to the United States were political refugees. However, the US government did not recognize us as political refugees, and asylums were being denied left and right. Fortunately, I was one of the few that was actually granted after 4.5 years of fighting in courts. But the rest of the community kept on being deported. I mean, we caressed in DC at the time because it was the first caressing we had. We recorded over 1,500 people that were killed just after deportation. So we filed a lawsuit against INS at the time in Congress, which was later known as the ABC, which was the American Baptist Church, which they pretty much put themselves up front to protect us. And that was won. So then everybody under TP under political asylum cases went back to the original state. Let us say 0.0, right? So what do we do with them now? So we started doing lobbying with a few congressmen and senators, and we came out with a temporary protected status. So that legislation passed in 1990, and Salvadorians were the first community that got protected. Now, who gets TPS? People who are coming from countries torn by civil wars, national disasters, and political instability, pretty much. So so that's how TPS has started. Now, later on, we continue our fights. We got NACARA. We were able to protect all these people. And then, due to other natural disasters, things began to continue to flow, right? I mean, so Honduras got protected due to Hurricane Mitch, then El Salvador also because of the earthquakes. You got Nepal, you got Cameroon, you got Afghanistan, you got South Sudan, Sudan. I mean, there is like 17 countries currently under TPS. Venezuela being the largest TPS community at the moment is around almost 700,000 Venezuelans under that program, which were the first community that Trump 2.0, as I call it, attacked. Because the first time it was against Haiti, then it was, I believe it was Haiti, then it was Nepal, I think. I forgot the word. It was Honduras, Nicaragua, and El Salvador, and Sudan, right? So as George was explaining, at that time we figured out, okay, how can we protect these people? We filed a lawsuit. We kept it going until Trump was gone, and under President Biden, we were able to reestablish it. And then, of course, we get to Trump against with tax. So that's pretty much just briefly what.
Yes. Yes. And Arnaldo, we're going to take a little break now. We're going to hear a little piece of music that some of our listeners may remember from the 1970s from the Fifth Dimension called The Declaration. We'll be right back.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights,
that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Yes, and although that song came out in the 70s, it's certainly relevant today. And we know, on WPFW listeners know, that if they come after the immigrants, so-called immigrants, because many of these people, certainly people from Mexico and elsewhere, this is their country. We stole it from them. So we know that if they come after the immigrants, they're definitely going to be coming after all of us. So this situation with the immigrant community is critical for all listeners. And again, this show is dedicated to Arturo Griffiths. In a minute, we're going to hear from a couple of Arturo's close friends. I'm going to introduce Tony Stamp in a moment, who knew Arturo since they were young children. But let's keep with Arnaldo, and then very quickly, if you want to hand it over, Arturo, to your other guest, Mr. Hernandez, to describe what is happening in the D.C. area with regards to the situation with TPS.
Before we go into the D.C. area, I just wanted to, as you were saying earlier, I'm leaving today, right? This week, Wednesday, we're having a hearing before the Ninth Circuit Court. Pretty much the appeal made by us because of the decision that the Supreme Court took the last time, last March, believe it or not, last month, against our Venezuelan communities. So we're going to be having three hearings this month. One is the appeal on the 16th. Then we'll have another hearing on the 29th, which is to hear the arguments about the terminations for Honduras, Nicaragua, and Nepal. And then on August 1st, we're asking Josh Chen to make a final decision on the TPS situation for Honduras, for Venezuela. But locally, we're doing a...
Wait. Before you go to local, will we be able to find out about what's going on with what you just described?
Absolutely. I mean, we're going to be transmitting everything live through Radio Jornalera.
Okay, but you need to speak Spanish, or is there... do you have a website?
No, actually, no, the press conference will be in English. So will all the debriefings from the attorneys that are going to be talking on it. Then in the afternoon, we're also going to have, after the meeting, another debriefing specifically by the plaintiffs and in the attorneys as well. We're going to have another live Facebook live soon, meeting. And everything is going to, the transmission will be through Radio Jornalera.
But can they find out through National TPS Alliance?
Yes. Or going to our website, to the National TPS
Alliance. Yeah, I think that would be easier for our listeners. National TPS Alliance. And we will repeat that at the
org.
End of
that
org. We're going to repeat that. We're going to jump to Mr. Hernandez. But I want to just, now we're going to take some time during this segment for you all to share. And we're going to bring Tony Stamp on as well. One or two stories about Arturo and how you met him. Sir Arnaldo, can you just briefly, I'm sorry, we don't have more time, briefly say something else about Arturo Griffiths and how you've worked with him?
I met Arturo back in early 80s. I was just a new arrival into the States. I got involved in the solidarity movement, and of course, there was Arturo. he had already been here for a while, fighting for our communities. And I met him at the United Calvary Church over on Columbia Road.
Yes.
And it was a brief introduction, but after that, we started to work together in a lot of other things. I mean, lately, the last things, I mean, he was very involved with me in helping us out with the National TPS Alliance. I mean, he was always...
Yes, and he did many things that even I didn't know about, which were quite historic in terms of the Latino community. But just in a minute, because we're going to be... We only really have about 10 minutes left. So I'm sorry to be this way, but
it's okay.
One more point, and then I want to move into Mr. Hernandez and George and also Tony Stamp. So briefly, one more comment about Arturo Hernando.
Well, no, he was very involved, as I was saying, with the TPS struggle. I mean, he was helping us out, getting us connected with everybody that he knew. And he was also always took charge of getting all of our permits for our marches and rallies and civil disobedience and whatever. We used to spend hours fighting with park police.
Okay.
And that's what Louis was like saying always, hey, you know what? It was hilarious for
him. Yes, I know. So
he was just fighting.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Now, Arturo was a... It's always been a great friend. I mean, he always welcomed us in our house. Actually, we had we went camping with all the our committee for the TPS committee in his house that he graciously both of them gave to us so that we can come and have our meeting for over there. And they were always, I mean, he always has his arm open to all of us. And we miss him a lot.
Yes.
In fact, the card I have, he gave it to me so that I can continue doing our TPS work. Yes. I mean, he was a man of a big heart.
Yes, and a man of the people. And he was, people say he was a rev. I'm going to say he is a revolutionary. So I'm going to, I'm sorry, we're going to be running out of time. I need to give everybody a chance to, Tony Stamp, do you want to jump in now? Tony grew up with Arturo in Panama. And if he doesn't jump in right now, Tony will get.
I'm here.
You there? Yes. You want to welcome. And of course, you're also part of the PFW family. Tell us briefly about Arturo and your friendship with him for over many years, or whatever you'd like to share.
Well, Arturo really is, my mother was friends with his father in Panama, and we all went to the same school together. About five of us used to pack in a car, either going to school or coming back from school. In 1960, I immigrated from Panama to Jamaica, and then later to come here 7 years later. And I came here in September 13th, and the first party I went to, Arturo was there, and he recognized me, and he came and talked to me. And when I left Panama, I was totally bilingual. When he came talking to me, I understood what he was saying, but I answered it in English, and he couldn't understand that. Hey, how come you're not speaking any Spanish? The 7 years of not speaking Spanish, you kind of forget certain things. So anyway, but in our teenage years, I too went to Howard University. I went to University of Maryland. But Arturo was always organizing something in Mount Pleasant, Adams Morgan community for Spanish people. A lot of them. That's what he worked on. He was a coalition person, liked to work with everybody, always fighting different things. There's a little thing that I like to tell people about. When I came here in 67, okay, most of the Latin community was really Cubans, Dominicans, Puerto Ricans, and most of the other countries were very small. Even the Panamanian community was very small. When Stuart Reagan got elected, he decided he did not like that, hey, Nicaragua had an election and did not elect people that the United States want. And he started that, and he started the Iran-Contra war and all that stuff. That's when, this is a blowback from that, all the mistreatment that has been going on in Central Latin America. And they introduced guns into those, all our countries, and that caused people to have to leave and come here. So the immigration problem started with U.S. foreign policy against Latin America.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
One thing that Arturo did, it was a local problem, but it was an international problem, and he was always organizing. Arturo believed that don't fight things individually. We have to do things as a coalition of people.
Yes.
If we don't have money to fight, then guess what? We have to get the numbers of the people for us to fight. So, but a lot of people do not relate what's going on in the Latin community now, nationwide, or what caused it. Because everybody was happy in their own country. We didn't want to come here. all the things that happen is usually U.S. policies affecting our countries.
Yes, absolutely. And Tony, I'm sorry to keep moving on. I'm going to ask you to come back at the end of the show, which in a few minutes, to introduce our outro song by Ruben Blades. Ruben Blades. I know that Arturo was always loved him. And I want listeners, a lot of listeners do not know Arturo Griffiths, but some of us do. He was and is very much a part of WPFW. He was one person that connected, was always connecting the African-American communities, the working class communities with the Latino communities. He was an organizer and brought people together. Okay, I'm going to ask George to briefly tell us about your work with Arturo and the United Workers, the Trabajadores Unidos.
That's right, Jordi. Yeah, and I think that specific example kind of really outlines a lot of what Tony and Arnoldo just talked about, right? Arturo was just, so number one, the guy was an incredible Renaissance man, right? Not only was he a fighter for social justice, the guy helped found the DC Latino Festival. He was an incredible musical talent and an appreciator of the arts, right? But the way I first engaged with him was like sometime in the early 2000s. I was working with the day labor community that primarily at that time hung out around the Home Depot in Rhode Island, Ward 5. Right. And still are there today and being subjected to violent ICE raids. But back in those days, we were working on a project to kind of to organize the day laborers, something that, you know, that I learned from and then took and continued to learn about as I transitioned into CASA. But back in those days, I was working in the city. And, you know, there was a coalition of us folks working with those workers, educating them about their rights, helping them defend themselves when they're victims of wage theft and discrimination, and organizing over all the community there. Right. And Arturo came along, right after we kind of had already, we were in the process of incorporating the organization and creating our own 501c3 that would be representing the interests of the workers there, because they decided that was the way that they wanted to protect their rights. And Arturo came along working with DC Jobs with Justice as their main organizer. And this guy, so this is the early 2000s, right? Arturo had already had a long trajectory in yes. in the rights movement, right? He was an icon. He was already an icon. I was kind of in awe when I saw him and when I started working with him. And that guy is out there at like 6 o'clock in the morning in freezing temperatures, talking to day laborers at the Home Depot parking lot, and using that also as a way to really engage with the communities he felt most identified with, right? The Latino immigrant, the Black and Brown communities. At that time, we know about gentrification in Ward 5, but at that time, you know, that area was a working class Black community. So it was an opportunity to work with the neighbors there in and around the shopping center in there and Home Depot, and creating an alliance between the communities there to advocate for the rights of the day laborer. So it was a beautiful project that he really led. And I was privileged enough to know him in those circumstances and see him in action, right? And see, like, and that guy, I mean, just my final thing to say, it was just, he was, you know, he was such a strong voice and a strong leader, and such a like kind and generous soul.
Yes.
The nicest person you could ever meet. Always had a smile on his face. But be careful around the cops. That guy would go after the cops that would go after our day laborers like nobody's business. He would draw a line when he's fighting for his community. And he was definitely, it definitely left like such a strong impression in me and such like deep admiration, just, you know, even at that beginning stage before I even knew who he was.
Right. I mean, is the group Trabajadores Unidos, is that still in existence, that organization?
Yeah, that organization still exists. I'm sure they're in mourning now, losing a great figure.
Yes, yes. And let me also bring on another very special person, and that is Dante. Dante has been on this show before. He's an activist in the community, a federal worker with the Federal Unions Network, and much, much more. But Arturo was, and Dante is a young person. We consider him young, and Arturo, he was his mentor, and I'd like Dante to just jump on and say a few words about what Arturo has meant to you.
Yeah, thanks, Joni, for inviting me again. I moved to DC in 2019, and one of the first quote unquote like activist meetings or organizer meetings was at the Gringas building on V Street. And I met Arturo at that meeting. And I don't know, we just sort of connected immediately, you know, not only on the immigrant struggle, but also like issues around African-American struggles in the districts, and the sort of burgeoning youth movement coming out of the Bernie Sanders campaigns and Occupy and Black Lives Matter and all these things that were, you know, sort of hot right before COVID. And when COVID hit, you know, I sort of came under his wing, you know, when things started, you know, locked down and, you know, we were trying to support families that were hit hard by the pandemic and also organize under the new conditions. But the main things that him and I were really involved with were, you know, as one of your other guests mentioned, was solidarity work, you know, around a variety of different issues that our government, you know, does around the world. And him and I would just talk on the phone nearly every single day, just talking politics, but also be engaged in a lot of issues. And, you know, we founded this organization, which I don't claim to be a founder of, but, you know, I think I played a fairly prominent role in, because I was one of the younger people, was the Claudia Jones School for Political Education, which has been very active in the city politics. Wow. In the past 5 or so years.
And was Arturo was one of the founders?
Yes, one of the founders.
Oh, wow. I didn't know.
Gatso Bentley and Deborah Johnson and some other folks as well around the district that have been very involved in the community for many, many decades. But Arturo is the brains, I would say, like that man.
Wow, I didn't know that. Now we're almost out of time. Yeah. Can you just say in one sentence what the Claudia Jones organization is?
Yeah, so Claudia Jones School is named after Claudia Jones, who was a working class communist immigrant to this country from Trinidad. And she was deported under the McCarthy period in the 50s. So what we've been trying to do is uplift her legacy, connecting the struggles of Black women, immigrants, and international solidarity, you know, educating the working class of the city, and push people into action on these issues.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's very important for listeners to know that Arturo Griffiths was one of the founders of the Claudia Jones School. That's why we want to keep Arturo's spirit alive here on WPFW, because he was very much a part of it. If Mr. Hernandez, if you can say something in just 30 seconds, we're very much almost out of time.
Yeah, I just want to invite everyone for tomorrow at 5 p.m. to the Veterans Plaza in Silver Spring. We're going to have a vigil in solidarity to the TPS community. So everyone is invited, and join the TPS Alliance, become a member to be updated about all the TPS the situation going on so far, and welcome to be part of the Nelcy Edilberto Mansor TPS Committee in Maryland, which is held in along with the Baltimore TPS Committee, the event tomorrow. And everybody's invited at 5 p.m. at the Veterans Plaza, a vigil in solidarity to the TPS community that is fighting for the status so far.
Okay, we thank you very much. And I want to thank all of my guests. We'll talk more, but to have a way to share some of these ongoing actions with our WPFW audience. Of course, there is going to be a celebration of life for Arturo on September 26th. You'll be hearing more about this. But again, I want to thank Arturo for helping. I want to thank Lois, his partner. I want to thank AC Bird also for helping me, as well as Damu. Arturo was good friends with Damu as well. And we look forward to hearing more about Arturo as we move forward. I want to announce that you should stay tuned for the new show, Mark Thompson, Make It Plain, coming on at 11. I will also want to quickly mention that tomorrow, from 6 to 8 p.m., the esteemed historian C.R. Gibbs is going to be giving a talk on the rise, fall, and restoration of Marion Barry. I'm sure it's going to be a fascinating discussion. That's Tuesday, tomorrow, 6 to 8, C.R. Gibbs at the Woodridge Library. Woodridge Library in Northeast D.C. That's 1801 Hamlet Street, Northeast. Tomorrow, Tuesday, 6 to 8 p.m. And Tony, real quick, introduce Ruben Blades to us. We're going to go out with a song that you selected.
Ruben Blades is the most famous Panamanian artist, singer. He ran for president and things like that. And Arturo had the largest festival, Latin festival.
Wait, just give us another minute.
It took okay, it from
okay, we're going to have Morgan
to down, yeah. To the Marshall Monument, and it was the largest festival, Latin festival ever happened.
Okay, so let's hear 1 minute of Ruben Blades. Thank you, everybody.
Ruge la mar embravecida, rompe la ola del horizonte, brilla el verde azul del gran Caribe, con la maeta que el sol inspira. Este guerrero va pasando, recorriendo el reino que domina. Que caiga prisionero, hoy no da perdón para su vida. Es el tiburón que va acechando, es el tiburón que nunca duerme. Es el tiburón que va acechando, es el tiburón de mala suerte.
Hi, this is Jim Byers, host of the Latin Flavor Classic Edition. For nearly 5 decades, support from listeners like you has kept WPFW's wheels rolling. In fact, the single largest category of donations comes from those who donate an unused car to the station. That's right, running or not. Even a car sitting idle that needs thousands of dollars in repairs can do wonders for WPFW. If you can't drive it, donate it. WPFW will get the proceeds, and you'll get a tax break. Go to WPFWFM.org or call 1-866-WPFW-CAR. That's 1-866-973-9227 for more information. Help WPFW continue building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
How to get WPFW swag in your life? Idols that say, I support jazz and justice without saying a word. We've got you covered. Details and browsing at WPFWFM.org. Again, that's WPFWFM.org.
Greetings. This is Papa Wabe inviting you to check out my new showgram, Free Your Mind with Papa Wabe, every Thursday morning from 2 to 5 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. We present a mashup of positive, uplifting music of different genres, mainly roots reggae. We also feature poetry, speeches, artist interviews, and so much more. That's Free Your Mind with Papa Wabe, Thursday mornings, 2 to 5 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, here on WPFW 89.3 FM, making it a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Free your mind!
The Birchmere presents Omar, July 17th, Hubert Laws, July 20th, Hiroshima, July 24th, and Sheila E., July 30th. Details at thebirchmere.com.
Hello, WPFW listeners. Summertime is here. Words, Beats, and Life has the event for your family and friends this season. The second annual DMV Made Festival is happening Saturday, July 26th on the National Mall, a one-day celebration of the D.C., Maryland, Virginia region, promoting the intersections of arts and culture, plus health and wellness. With live music by Go-Go Legends, EU, featuring Sugar Bear, vocalist Navasha Deya, jazz fusion trio The Mastetics, Black Folks Don't Swim, Kamau, and much more. Plus Family Fun Zone, Poetry and Storytelling Pavilion, Interactive Dance Stage, Live Art Installations, Hands-On Workshops, and Health and Wellness Pavilion. July 26th on the National Mall. Full details at wblinc.org/DMVMade. See you there. Brought to you by Words, Beats, and Life with support from WPFW.
African Diaspora International